Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. This is Theology Thursday. Typically, we look at the news of the day from a Christian worldview. Today, we look at the source of the Christian worldview, God's Word.
Jesus, speaking to the Lord, to the Father, said, "All mine are yours, and all yours are mine." The second part may be, people who don't believe the Bible teaches Jesus is God, maybe they could try to rationalize that. All yours are mine. Because, well, God gave Jesus joint ownership of everything. But Jesus didn't only say to the Father, "All yours are mine." He said, "Father, all mine are yours." Wow. Jesus says, "Keep my commandments." Whose commandments were they? Right? Whose commandments came down on Mount Sinai? Some angels' commandments? Were they Moses' commandments? No, he was the mediator. They were my commandments, Jesus Christ. It was the law of God. Thus saith the Lord, Jehovah, God Almighty. And Jesus said, "Keep my commandments," 4 times. "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." The authority of God. He says, "Keep my word. My peace I give. In me you may have peace. My joy should fill you." And he asked twice, "Who do men say that I am?" Because that's what matters. That determines whether those men will go to heaven or hell. He says 4 times, "Receive me. Come after me. Live in me." Matthew 18, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Again, suggesting omnipresence. We can't say that. Was it Michael, the archangel, who was trying to get to Daniel? It took him 3 weeks to get there because he was hindered. So angels are not omnipresent, but God is omnipresent. Jesus said, "My words will never pass away." He commanded us in Mark 5:19 to tell others about God. No, tell others about him. Wow. Jesus said, "Do not be ashamed of me." He said, Mark 9:41, "You belong to Christ." In Luke, he says, "Hear my sayings and do them." You know, the Bible says that God doesn't want to share his glory. The book of Isaiah, he says, "I don't share my glory with anyone." Jesus, we find out in Luke 9 and John 2 and John 16, Jesus has, quote, his own glory. He has his own glory. Jesus said to his disciples, "He who hears you hears me." He said, "Do not reject me." He said, "He who is not with me is against me." Jesus said, "Be my disciple. Forsake all to be my disciple. You are my disciples." Jesus said, "If no one praised me, these stones would come to life and sing the praises that are due me." The stones would praise him if necessary, in Luke 19. He said, "Return to me." He said, in John 15 and 16, "I shall send the Holy Spirit." That's pretty good. The Holy Spirit being God. "I shall send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will testify of," in John 15, "of God." He says, "The Holy Spirit will testify of me." We read in John 5 and Luke 24, Jesus said, "The Scriptures testify of me." He says to the apostles, he says, "You will also bear witness of me." Paul gives testimony concerning me. The Son gives life to whom he will. See that? If Jesus is not God, and God was using him somehow to impart forgiveness, he would be able to give life to whom God wills. But he gives life to whom he wills. No evangelist could say, I save whom I will. As messengers of the gospel, we can't say that. I save whom I will. Because life comes not by the will of man, but it comes by the will of God. John teaches us in chapter 1. All should honor the Son. This is John 5:23. All should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Wow. Jesus says, seek me. I am the bread of life. He says, I am the bread of heaven. I am the bread of God. In John 6:36, he says, to paraphrase him, just seeing me is reason enough to believe. Just seeing me, you should believe in God, just by seeing me. A believer, Jesus said, abides in me and I in him. He says, drink my blood and eat my flesh. He says, the world hates me. That's what's wrong with the world. It hates me. Know Jesus Christ. This is John 17:3. Why do you know Jesus Christ? For eternal life. John 17:3, if you know Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. That's salvation, knowing Jesus. The Son makes you free. John 8, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, Jesus said, and before Abraham was, I am. That's a name for God. Of believers, Jesus Christ said, I know them. He said, I give them eternal life. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. You know what Jesus said? There's a verse in Isaiah where God is a jealous God. He doesn't want any other gods to get in the way of us worshiping God. And he says, you serve only me. You know what Jesus said in John 12:26? He said, serve me. Wow. Serve me. Those who take the Bible and try to say, the Bible teaches that Jesus is not God, that he's a created being. What they do to try to win the argument is they dive right into a verse and they get buried in the details. And they can't see their way through to the next verse. They have no idea of the message of the whole Bible. They've lost the forest for the trees. Jesus said, I will draw all people to myself. John 12:32. He says, I will receive you to myself. I am the way. You know what else he says in that verse? John 14:6. He says, I am the truth. Imagine that. I am the truth. I am the life. He says, I will manifest myself. That's in John 14:21. Be mine. I am the vine. Without me, you can do nothing. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you. Those who oppress Christians, Jesus said, are persecuting me because they have not known me. The Spirit will glorify me. Imagine that. The Holy Spirit will come. He will glorify me. And he will take of what is mine and declare it. All things that the Father has are mine. The Father loves you because you have loved me. I have overcome the world. And finally, the last one I'd like to look at, if you'd like to turn to the end of this book we're in, John chapter 21, verses 18 through 22. And this is the end of our survey of the overview of Christ's message. John 21, 18 through 22, verse 18, most assuredly, I say to you, Jesus is speaking to Peter. He says, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, who's that? That's John, the guy writing the gospel. He never refers to himself. And who is John? Well, we have later in the study, we'll ask that question. Who was this guy, John, who wrote this book? But Peter turned around and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? So that's the guy that Peter's referring to. Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Jesus had just said to Peter, look, you're going to die. You're going to be martyred. And Peter looked at John. He figures John is his favorite. He says, how about him? And Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? Follow me. So if I will, Jesus speaks as only God himself could speak. Either he is a liar, or he's a lunatic, self-deluded, or he is Lord of the universe, your creator, your judge. Now, in this overview, I've omitted most of Christ's references to the Father God, because that wasn't the purpose of this overview. We wanted to see what did Jesus teach about himself. Of course, he spoke about the Father often. If God were not a plurality, if he were not a Godhead, as Paul describes him, calls him in Romans 1, and therefore there were not a Trinity, then Jesus, if he were God, would only talk about himself. But he constantly speaks as though he were God, yet simultaneously refers to God in heaven, giving his Father due reverence. The passages where Jesus refers to the Father in heaven, God, are so numerous, along with all the rest in the Bible, that we don't need to reference them here. There's just a zillion of them. So the overall thrust of Christ's teaching shows us not only Christ's deity, but also the plurality of the Godhead. He is God, demanding worship and obedience. And God is also in heaven, his Father. There's a plurality there. That's the doctrine that we see in the content of Christ's message. Now, back to the manner of his speech. In contrast to the Old Testament's thus says the Lord 420 times, Jesus asserts 135 times, I say to you. Never once uttering thus says the Lord. Why doesn't he say thus says the Lord? Why doesn't he say that? Well, he takes upon himself the authority of God. He has that authority. He doesn't need to say, thus says the Lord, because he is the Lord. So he says, I say to you. Those are the verses, although I shortened it, that I shared with Monica when she called in. And she had said, am I a Christian? And I want to know 100%. I don't want to tell them don't come back unless I know 100% that Jesus is God. And how much time did I spend with Monica on that call? Maybe it went on for 10 or 15 minutes. Can't make somebody a Bible scholar in 15 minutes. But you can present to them the overwhelming overview of Christ's teachings. And since she has been a Christian for some years now and has read the Bible a lot and gone to church, she was able to identify with each of those statements of Jesus. She can look them all up. That'd be good to do. But she doesn't even need to because she knows they're all there, because she recognizes virtually all of them. And when we back out of the dense forest of details, when we go back far enough to get a perspective, a panorama view of the overview, the message of the Bible is fabulously clear that Jesus is God and only God could save us. Only God could save us. What else is it? What other fundamental doctrine do the Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, deny? Hell, eternal torment. Why would they deny those two? Why? I have a good friend. He's been studying the Bible for 30 years. He owns a manufacturing business here in Denver. He's very successful. And he's come to the conclusion that Jesus is not God. He's not a Jehovah's Witness. You know the other doctrine that he's thrown out? Eternal torment, eternal punishment. Why? Those two go hand in hand. They're related. Because how valuable is Jesus Christ? Well, if he's God, then he is the most valuable commodity in the universe, in existence. There's nothing more valuable than God. And God had to pay for our souls to redeem us so we could go to heaven and not to hell. So how much do you have to pay to fulfill a debt? Well, it depends. What is the debt? Tell me what the debt is, and then I'll pay for it. Well, if we did not have a future, if the world apart from salvation did not have a future of eternal punishment, of each individual soul looking only for eternity without God, an eternity of punishment, if that wasn't the punishment, if it was something else, if it was a finite debt that was owed, then God could simply create something else, create something that had a greater value, a greater net worth, and then sacrifice that, use that to pay the debt. But he couldn't create anything that was worth more than infinite value and worth. And because a human soul, just like the created angels that sinned, because their soul, there's no cap for what it's worth. It's not worth 100,000 years of torment in the lake of fire. As my friend thinks, it's something like that. You go in the lake of fire, you get punished, and then it's over. That would be a finite debt. But God didn't have a finite debt that he had to pay. He had an infinite debt. And that's why it took something of infinite worth to pay the debt. And that thing was God himself. So God himself came and paid the debt so that men would not have to go to eternal damnation. And that's the story of the Bible. The traditional verses that are used to show that Jesus Christ is God, well, that he's the creator. John chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. He, Jesus, was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Now, please turn to Isaiah 44. And when John writes that Jesus made everything, or that everything that was made through him, does that imply that Jesus is the creator, God Almighty? Or could it be that God created him, Jesus, and then as a created being, God used Christ to help create all the rest, the heavens and the earth? Which is it? In the Ten Commandments, God describes himself as a jealous God, and you would think that he would not share his credit for creation with other beings. You'd think he wouldn't do that lightly. When an inventor creates, like in America, when a creative man develops something, he often gets a patent or a copyright. And it's unacceptable to claim to have created that guy's invention. That would be wrong. Well, the prophet Isaiah records God's copyright on the universe. In Isaiah 44, verse 24, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer. Thus says the Lord God, your Redeemer, and he who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all alone, who spreads abroad the earth by myself. Isaiah 44, 24. God does not leave room for someone else to claim credit for creation. God does not leave room for men, not even for the apostles, to give credit to another agent for creating the heavens and the earth. God says, I stretched out the heavens all alone. I made the earth by myself. Now, I'm going to turn to Colossians 1:16. You may want to. Colossians 1:16 begins, "For by him," and it's a verse about the creation. Well, who is the him in Colossians 1:16? It is the Creator. But does Paul refer to the Father or to the Son? Well, there's no wiggle room here either. The entire context makes it clear that Paul writes of Jesus. Look at the next two verses before we read Colossians 1:16. Verse 17, "And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence." So who's that speaking of? Jesus Christ. He's the firstborn from the dead. Christ rose from the dead. So verse 16 also is still the same pronouns referring to him, Jesus Christ. It says, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him." You see that the creation was made for Jesus Christ because he is God. Remember in Isaiah, the Lord said he stretched out the heavens all alone. He made the earth by himself. So if Jesus created all things that are in heaven and on earth, we know that he is the Jehovah God. That's what's written in Isaiah 44. Jehovah, the Creator. God did not have help. The Almighty created all alone. Jesus created, and he created all things for himself. Jesus is God. I'd like to look at another creation passage in Hebrews 1:8. And when we look at this, we'll see that the text comes right out and says that the Son is God. Jesus is God. Hebrews 1, verse 8. "But to the Son," he says, this is God speaking, "but to the Son," God says, "your throne, O God, is forever." Your throne, O God. That's to the Son. How could anyone who claims to be a Christian get confused on the matter? They have to have a determination to reject the person of Jesus Christ. They have to go into it wanting to reject God. Otherwise, they would humbly see that the Bible teaches Jesus is God. To the Son, the Father says, "Your throne, O God, is forever." Later in the verse, "A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom." It's the kingdom of God, kingdom of the Son. Verse 9, "You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness." There are an awful lot of churches that love the lawless. But Jesus Christ is God. And some of the evidence of that is that he hates lawlessness. God is love and hate, because he does both. "Therefore, God," the Father is speaking to the Son. He says, "Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions." So the Son is God, and his God is the Father who's God. They are one, as Jesus said. "I and my Father are one." Verse 10, "And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands." Why is Lord in all caps? Capital L, and then the O-R-D are in small caps. Why? Well, Hebrew has different words for God, like Jehovah and Elohim. Elohim, El, God, Elohim. Those would be translated God, G-O-D. Jehovah could be translated God or Lord. If it is, they use small caps, first an initial capital letter, and then small caps, indicate the word in the original is Jehovah, also pronounced Yahweh. Why would they make such an effort to indicate that? Because that name in the Bible is clearly God Almighty. If there are any other created beings, spirit beings, elders, angels, they're not Jehovah. It's God, the Almighty, the Creator, is Jehovah. And so in Hebrews 1:10, it says, "You, Lord," this is the Father speaking to the Son, calling him Jehovah. "In the beginning, you, Jehovah, laid the foundation of the earth." Now, Jehovah is a Hebrew word. In Greek, doesn't have the word Jehovah. It would either be Theos, which is Greek for God, or Kyrios, Greek for Lord. Well, this here would be Kyrios, for Lord, as in the Old Testament translations of Jehovah. But why do they capitalize it that way then, if the New Testament doesn't use the word Jehovah? Because this is a quote, as was the other, from the Old Testament. It's from Psalm 102. And in that psalm, the whole psalm is speaking of Jehovah. And Jehovah is referenced repeatedly in that psalm. So in Psalm 102, I'd like to read the verse that was just quoted in Hebrews 1:10. But before I read that, I'm going to back up a little in Psalm 102 and give you the context. And then we find out that Psalm 102 is a psalm of worship and praise sung by the Father to the Son, calling him Jehovah, the Almighty God, the Creator. Imagine that. Psalm 102, starting back in verse 21, the psalmist writes, "To declare the name of Jehovah in Zion." So it's speaking of the name of Jehovah. "When the peoples are gathered together and the kingdoms are gathered to serve Jehovah." He says, "I said, O my God, do not take me away in the midst of my days." Then he gets to verse 25, the verse that appears in Hebrews. "Of old, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands." In Psalm 102, that's spoken of Jehovah, the Creator, the Almighty. But in Hebrews chapter 1, the author says, this was written of the Son, Jesus Christ. So when the Hebrew prophet is saying Jehovah, and the New Testament author says that's Jesus, that tells us that the Creator, Almighty God, is Jesus Christ. It is wrong to worship anyone other than the Creator God. You can only worship God. You don't worship the angels. John in Revelation 22 gets reprimanded for falling prostrate before an angel. You don't do that. Peter entered Cornelius' home, and Cornelius fell down and worshiped him. And Peter said, "Get up, I'm a man." You only worship God. As Jesus told Lucifer, remember, Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness? And the one temptation was, he said, "I have the kingdoms of the world. Worship me, and I will give them to you. They are mine," he said to Christ. "I can give them to whomever I will. Worship me, and I will give you the kingdoms of the world." Jesus said, "You are to worship no one but God alone."
Hey, this is Bob Benyard. If you would like to hear more, you could go to our store online. Go to kgov.com, click on the store, and then you could get our Bible studies, or go to the subscriptions where you could subscribe to our sermons and our Bible studies. You could get really fun verse-by-verse studies or topical Bible studies. I think you'll love it.